Hey, hello everybody, welcome to a new episode of .Netflix. Today I have my colleague Pradeep, and you're going to talk to us today about maintaining environments for your teams within your organization.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about that?
Sure. It's basically a common problem that is you can find across different organizations regardless of the size of it. You know, mm-hmm. There are big organizations, there are smaller ones. The thing is that people have teams working on different technologies. Some mm-hmm. of them are working on .NET, Java, or database projects. Or
so really developing teams that you have within the organization.
Exactly.
For instance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've also faced this scenario. You know, you go to a new team and you get basically a server or mm-hmm. a workstation to work on, and you have to install all the software, set it up in the same
manually.
State. Manually. Most of the time. Yeah. If you're lucky, you have automation, but most of the time it is manual works. And then you install softwares, but most of the time you end up installing a different version than the rest of the team members have.
Yeah. Yeah. Different patch levels and
exactly.
stuff like that. Yeah.
Or in a different order.
Yeah.
And then what you have is inconsistent development environments. Mm-hmm. Huh? So then you end up into problems that it works on my machine, it doesn't work on your machine or the build server and things like that.
Yeah.
And
been there, done that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Everyone. So what I'm trying to do over here is that what we have achieved is using a PowerShell DAC in Chocolaty, and the combination of these three, we can try to create an automation mechanism where you can consistently maintain all the systems in your development teams. What's also interesting is, you know, most of the time if you have automation, your teams will be able to run the automation scripts and generate the system in the same way that everybody has. But also, sometimes you need to, maybe there's a new version of a software.
Okay,
And then either you update your automation scripts and ask everybody to rerun it, somebody doesn't, somebody does.
Yeah. You still have the differences between the different environments.
Exactly,
yeah.
At a later point of time, this will come. So why I was also thinking is that how can you solve this in a centralized way?
And, cool.
And PowerShell DAC is an excellent system to do it. So the concept is to create a centralized server, mm-hmm. and we call it as a pull server in DAC. And upload the latest configurations over there.
A DAC is desired state configuration.
Yeah.
The add-on, so to speak, for PowerShell. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the configuration management system for Microsoft. So, and then you upload all these configurations to the centralized server, and then you connect all the client machines, that is your development team machines. And then once the new configuration is available, the client machines will pull it up and change it accordingly.
Yeah.
So then you get the consistency. The other beauty of it is, even if after pulling the latest configuration on the client machine, and if accidentally somebody deletes something or mm-hmm. removes it, it has a frequency checking mechanism.
Okay.
So every 30 minutes or 60 minutes, it's going to check and then report to the compliance server that my system is going wrong, so I'm going to fix it again.
Okay, and then the desired state is being reinstated on the machine.
Exactly.
And does this work because you're talking about client machines, so developer workstations and stuff like that, does this also work for servers?
Yeah, it works on all production servers. And
cool.
In the demo, we'll be seeing some development SDKs and all those things mm-hmm. installed, so that's why I use the development machine term.
Yeah, makes sense.
But we use the same concepts for all our servers, you know, production acceptance and test environments.
And this is Windows only, or?
DAC, it works on Linux machines also now, but if you're looking for an infrastructure which you have different kind of servers, like mm-hmm. Linux and Windows and all those things, I think then there are other tool sets to use, Chef or Puppet.
If you ever had heterogeneous environments, then you have to step it up a bit. Okay, so
Windows infrastructure,
for
DAC is pretty cool. It's basic PowerShell. Mm-hmm. You can easily understand the languages.
Yeah, we've already had some, there was a .Netflix episode before
with
DAC, so if people want to know what it is, just check out that episode.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, sounds pretty cool. Can you show us some stuff?
Well, I can try to explain you how it works in a diagram, mm-hmm. and then we can see how it is. So the idea is that you have a central pull server. So this is a server. So we call it as a pull server.
Yes.
And you have an admin workstation, or maybe this is the place where you develop the configurations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also another interesting thing in this one, that you can create one big configuration for all the .NET machines and one big configuration for the Java machines. But sometimes you have the concept that some of the configurations are shared across these machines.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there's the screenshot. Well, and then you may have to repeat the same configurations in the Java configuration file and the .NET configuration file. And we don't like repeating stuff, you know. So what the idea is that you can create partial configurations. So create bits of configurations, we call it partial configurations. So you may have something called as a base configuration. Mm-hmm. This is applied on all the machines.
Okay.
Then you may create something like a .NET configuration. And this will have instructions to install your Visual Studio, that kind of things. For Java teams, you can create the Java configuration. Things like that.
Yep.
If you look into the production servers, then you can create these configurations based on the team specific. The production service is shared by different teams like SharePoint teams and Web's teams, and then they can create their own configurations, own it, and authorize it.
And is there some kind of inheritance mechanism? So can I overwrite certain stuff on a lower level, or is that not possible?
You can depend on certain stuff.
On,
Then you can ensure that that thing is there before it applies.
Okay, cool.
So and then you can push it into this centralized server. So it will. I will show you how it is done in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's here. Then you have your client machines, right?
The target machine for that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So these are, let's say, .NET machines. And what you see is you connect these .NET machines to the pull server. So that's where you set the what we call as the local configuration manager to look into the server. And then you say, okay, now you're connected to the local configuration manager. What all configurations are you interested in?
Ah, okay.
So you can also specify, let's say, for the .NET machines, I want all the machines to have the base configuration and
the .NET configuration.
The .NET configuration.
Yep. So you can build it up out of certain pieces of configuration. Right?
Exactly.
Cool.
And for the Java machines, I would say I need base configuration and Java configuration.
Yeah,
right?
Makes sense.
And then when this machine gets a particular frequency level, that also you can set it up. So you can set it up to 30 minutes or 60 or 1 hour based on your organization requirements. And then when it reaches that period, it will contact the server, check whether there is a latest version of configuration available.
Okay.
If it is there, it will pull it up and apply it to it and
nice.
Get it ready. So the LCM will accumulate all these configurations and finally apply everything as a big thing.
Cool.
So this is basically the structure.
Okay.
In the demo, what I'm going to do is we're going to install some software on these servers, and we're going to use a wonderful chocolatey infrastructure that is available publicly, and we have some DAC resources created.
Okay. Yeah.
So that you can use those resources to install it from chocolatey. You just give the name of the chocolatey package, and then it will be installing it.
Okay. But you could also create an own chocolatey server within your organization, deploy the chocolatey packages on there, and pull them from that server. Oh, cool.
Yeah, a small input on that one. If you have the latest TFS 2017, it has a package management system, so you
can
host its own chocolatey packages, and then you can create chocolatey package from the build, put in the server, download from there.
Cool.
So that's basically it.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a look, you can
great.
Have a quick look at the servers. So I have created three virtual machines. These are in Azure. So I have a pull server. One server is a pull server. I have a development machine. This is the .NET machine, and this is the Java machine.
Okay.
So in the .NET machine, we'll be applying the .NET configuration, and the Java machine will be applying the Java configuration. It's already connected to the pull server, and it has some configurations on it.
Okay.
We'll have a look into what it has, and then what we can do is we can try to install some new software.
Okay.
We will upload a latest version of the configuration to the pull server, and then we will see whether the client machines are downloading it. And
okay. I can also do this manually, so just force it to download the new configuration.
Yeah.
Do I have to wait for the next refresh to come along?
You have to wait for the next refresh to come along, but we will have to do a hack so that we can force pull it.
Yeah.
So that's way we can see it. Otherwise, we have to wait for 60 minutes to get it happen. That's not going to happen. So in the pull server, I can show you what we have. I have some configurations over here. So this is the basic configuration.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that for the base configuration, I have some registry changes to be present on all the machines. I want Chocolatey to be installed on all the machines. So this is the C Choco installer is a DAC resource that is available free.
Yep.
And then I want some softwares like 7zip and Node++ to be installed on the servers. So this is the common configuration for all the machines. Yep. And then I have something called as the .NET configuration. And in the .NET configuration, I'm not doing something great, but you know, you have Visual Studio Code and Linky Pack. So this, the .NET machines will have just this basic configuration.
Okay.
And if you go to the Java configuration, I do have something else like GRE and Node.js and Maven and Eclipse and things like that.
Yep, makes sense.
What we have to do is you write this kind of a configuration and then you have to upload this to the pull server. Mm-hmm. When I say uploading it to a pull server, you have to compile this configuration into something called as MOF files.
Yep.
And also generate a checksum for the MOF file. So that by having a checksum, then the pull server can compare the checksum. Huh?
Yep.
So if you have a latest version of the configuration, the pull server will know, okay, the checksum has changed, I need to pull it.
Okay.
I have a script that I have written just to compile it and upload it. It's not doing much. If you can see that it's creating a temporary folder and then compiling the .NET configuration.
Yep.
And then it will just create a checksum based on that folder and upload it into the pull server.
And where can I now see the dependency of the .NET config configuration on the base configuration? Is that defined somewhere?
Well, I haven't done a dependency
on
the base configuration, but if you look into the depends on, this is how it works on.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I have something called as the C-Choco installer, install Choco dependency on this package. Mm-hmm. I can depend on the higher one as well.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
So that's basically how you depend it. So what I'm going to do is that this is already uploaded. So I'm not going to re-upload it,
mm-hmm.
but I can show you where it is uploaded and where it is. So if you go to the program files, Windows PowerShell, configuration. Come on. Sorry. DSC service and configuration. You can see that I have the base configuration, .NET config, and Java config, and you can see that there are some checksum files available over there.
And that's the MOF files that were created.
These are the MOF files.
Okay.
So if you open the .NET config, you can just see that I have Visual Studio Code and LinkyPad.
Exactly.
Those are the two things available. And I'm going to my development machine, and if I just say get DSC local configuration manager, you can see that it's the refresh mode is pull.
Yep.
That means I've connected to the server.
Mm-hmm.
I have applied the partial configurations base config and .NET config. And it's listening to the pull server which I've configured, and this is the configuration it's trying to upload. And if I look into get DSC configuration, this will tell you what is the current configuration applied on the system.
Okay.
So you can see that it has the configuration from the base config system, so that is a registry change.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 7zip and the Node++, and then it has the configuration from the .NET config, that
yep.
is Visual Studio Code and LinkyPad. Those are the two things available over here. So the other thing maybe you're interested is the refresh frequency minutes and the configuration mode frequency
yep.
minutes. So every 30 minutes it's going to check and download it, and every 60 minutes it's going to apply the latest configuration.
Okay.
And it's apply and autocorrects. So this is how it's all set up. What we can do is, let's say, these teams are using TFS right now, and they want to use Git and develop some new projects using Node.js or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we will try to do is, in the pull server, we're going to change the .NET configuration. We're going to update the .NET configurations to have Git and Node.js
okay.
on
so
the server.
So we add a couple of packages that we want to have installed.
Exactly. So I'm just going to do this, copy paste.
Your best friend.
Yeah. So here I will say Git, and the chocolatey package name is Git. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then here it is Node.js, and I'm just gonna say Node.js. So now I have updated the configuration file. This is centrally updated, and I'm gonna run this thing.
Yep.
So this is going to push it to the location. And if I look into this files now, it's changed. It's
yep.
1, 2 p.m. now. And if I open the file, you can see that it has Git and Node.js into it.
Yep, perfect.
Now, I come here. Let's search for Git over here. It's not there.
Yep. This is the part where the magician shows there's nothing
yeah,
on
exactly.
his sleeve, right? So there's no Git on the machine.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise,
I vouch for that.
Otherwise, after me running the software, you say that, yeah, I don't know, it could be. Right, so I can now try to do is update DSC configuration, -8 and -4+. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, you saw that refresh frequency mode is 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm force pulling the latest configuration. Okay. So it's going to check and see whether there is a latest configuration available. So what it is saying is the checksum is different. LCM will execute get configuration to pull the latest configuration. So it has already pulled the latest configuration.
Okay.
And now after 60 minutes, it's going to apply. But then we cannot wait for that long. So we're going to force it.
We need a some get.
Exactly. So I have a script written for that one to invoke the force pull.
Okay.
And I'm just going to run this thing. And this is going to do all the things. Now, if you can see that it's trying to apply it. So it has a two-step process, basically. It mm-hmm. has a test and a set method.
Okay.
So in the test, it's going to check whether the state is in the desired state or not for that resource. And if it is not, it is going to apply the set method. So you can see that all the things which we had previously, the 7-SIP and the Notepad++ and all those things are going pretty fast because the test passed. And when you see Git and all those things coming up, that will see now it's checking the Git and it's not there. So the test failed, now it's installing Git.
And then it uses Chocolatey to just pull in that package.
Exactly.
Yep.
So then I think we have to wait for a couple of minutes or something like that. So, and then you have magically Git appearing on your system. So now we have Node and Git installed as part of this, mm-hmm. but we can quickly have a check. Right. So if I say get DSC configuration, this should show me the latest configuration. Huh?
Okay. And this is the applied configuration, right? This is not the configuration that was downloaded to the machine? Or
this is the configuration that is downloaded.
Okay.
So this says that, okay, this is the configuration the machine is supposed to be.
Okay.
And I need to check whether, okay, this is...
actually
in
installed and
exactly.
applied. Yeah,
so
yeah,
if
okay.
I say test DSC configuration, -4+, now it's going to run the test.
Ah, okay.
And it if it passes, it says true, otherwise it's going to say false.
Yeah.
So you can see that the test is running up, and you can see that, right. So Visual Studio Code is true, and where is Git? Yeah, so we are at Node.js.
Yep.
So Node.js is true, and Git is also
Git is true.
True. To check it, you can just go and search for Git now, and you have Git over here.
Awesome.
And then you can have Node.js search for that, which is taking some time. Sometimes this is, so you have Node.js coming up all that.
Very cool.
So that's how you do it. And then if you go to my Java machine, if you see the get DSC configuration, you can see that this has a completely different configuration of Eclipse and Maven and all those things. And
makes sense.
That has that kind of software.
Pretty cool. And you talked about that the client machine or the target machine has to be connected to the configuration.
Yeah.
Is that a manual step or is that also something you can automate so that it's automatically...
Everything can be automated. Everything is automated. So basically, it's just running a script. Huh?
Okay.
So it's setting your local configuration manager.
That could be something that I put into a virtual machine or something like that, or in a startup script when a new machine is created.
Exactly.
It automatically does that for you, and then you're in the game.
If you're in Azure, for example, once you spin up the VM, you can run some extensions and custom scripts after that. So you can do it in that way.
Cool.
If you're using Orchestrator or SME or something like that, you can run it after that stage also. So it's just one... setting up the local configuration manager, which I can show you quickly. So, for example, this is how it is done.
Okay.
So you just say that what are the configurations to be applied, the base config and the .NET config, what are the values for the frequency minutes and which server you need to look into.
Okay,
so I'm parameterizing it, so you just pass the configuration server URL. So I'm passing the Azure server URL.
Yep.
That's all what you have to do.
Okay.
And then you build it up.
Pretty cool. Gonna use that.
Yeah, it's very effective.
Yeah, so it will save you a lot of time.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Edwin.
I hope you guys enjoyed it also and start working with PowerShell DSC. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. I think this will actually save you lots of time as teams work well like this, and you don't want any difference between your environments anymore.
Exactly.
Hope you enjoyed it, and hope to see you for the next episode of .NET Flix. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.